Audio recording. This is Hit Record on your radio. Everything you're about to hear is produced by a global online group of artists called Hit Record. We're writers, illustrators, photographers, filmmakers, friends, musicians, actors, just people who found a way to do art differently together. Once we hit record, we offer up our ideas and art for the community to relentlessly, quote, copy, change, and rearrange into entirely new records. A poem becomes a song, becomes a symphony. Nothing is ever finished. It's a connected, collective effort to try anything and everything. Welcome.
No, you start. You start.
You start.
Okay. I can start.
Okay.
Okay. So, this is it. We're on our last episode of Hit Record on your radio.
Don't say last.
Sorry.
I can't say last. That's so final.
Hit Record. Hit Record. Hit Record on your radio.
This is regarding, you guessed it,
the future.
Fading futures. We meet on neon-splashed street corners, or sometimes when streets are heavily defaced, pockmarked by uprisings, its underground cafes, dim bunker lights illuminating our scarred faces, postcards from the war nobody won. Usually worse for wear, one future we saw was blissful and carefree, like an old heaven cliché. Naturally, we didn't want to leave. Naturally, it was our shortest visit. There is a future in everyone's head, unique, promising or dismal, bright or empty, each human being a future potential. We vision those futures like Saturday matinees, and it's been frightening but exciting since we first discovered the trick. We see, we visit, and that's it. But something's changed. There's someone new out there. Someone with a new trick. They don't just see a future, they steal futures. We don't know why, but we think we know how to find them.
He will manage to unclench your jaws and scream, but it will only fall on deaf ears.
I can produce any mental image that occurs to me on this machine. New York, spaceport, a space guard patrol, anything.
Anything?
Yes. And now I think I know what inspired the lost race to do what they did. It was fear. Fear of what was in their own minds. They could all see it with machines like this. But fear, fear of what? They foresaw the future.
I will die.
In the world of social media and smartphones, one-night stands have become a whole different beast. Our relationships are becoming altogether less tangible, but at the same time, we can follow people, which is weird.
Word. Regarding love in the more immediate future, here's Pixel Pilgrim with Saturday Nights.
What's with my need to be entertained all the time? That's one reason it's hard to say goodbye. That is one reason. And when you
On hitrecord.org right now, there's an ongoing collaboration called
The Impossible Dreams. Basically, people talking about these dreams, these things that they would love to do, but that seem
impossible, but are actually probable. You can do them.
I want us all to work together to kind of make art that can maybe help these dreams become
possible. So check out the collab and share your dreams for the future.
I think we're sort of accomplishing our impossible dream, or one of them, right? We just made a podcast every week for 2 months.
Hell fucking yeah, we did. Until you make the unconscious conscious, it will direct your life and you will call it fate. Now we're going to pass the mic to Henry Adam Wood, who is our correspondent of correspondences, and he's reporting live from his deathbed. Henry, thanks for coming on the show.
Of course. You're welcome. However, it would seem that bloated introduction wasted quite a bit of precious time.
Jeesh.
Shall I get on with my first letter then?
Okay, yeah. Go for it.
Dear Miss Wilmington, due to my grave condition and the advice of my doctor, I am writing letters to my family and friends as an act of clearing the conscience. My note to you is indeed a dire plea. One last wish. It's regarding the very blue near azure frock that you wear. You know the one? You once asked if it was fetching. I replied in the affirmative, but that wasn't entirely true. In fact, not remotely. The gown is much too small for you, and its color clashes so violently with your complexion that from afar you resemble a beach sea creature that will do anything to end its own suffering. My brother and I have spoken at length on the topic of you in that dress, and I gain no dignity, and I doubt you will either, when I tell you that our exuberant metaphors have given us many hours of amusement. But as he and I have had an irreparable quarrel, my wish is that he no longer experience any mirth. And so I kindly ask that you do me the merciful honor of denying him any further enjoyment by parading about like a cerulean liverwurst. Sincerely, Mr. Henry Adam Wood. P.S. If I may offer a bit of guidance, you may have more suitors if you wore a more muted frock. Perhaps one of an altogether different shape. Letter number 2. Dearest Alfie, I'm sorry I slept with your wife. Did you know I slept with your wife? Well, I did sleep with your wife, that is. I don't know about you, but I certainly feel better. Sincerely, Henry Adam Wood. P.S. Don't be mad. I'm dying and it would be uncivilized. Dear Theobald,
No more of this. Thank you, Henry. What? Thank you very much.
Let's move on.
The future. now it's time for another Japanese folktale on your radio.
Long ago, there lived a young fisherman named Urashima Taro. After a long day, Urashima was walking home along the beach and came across a group of children laughing and playing by the shore. As he drew nearer, he realized they were screaming and throwing stones. Urashima hurried forward and found that the children had surrounded a defenseless turtle. He scolded the children and they scurried away down the beach, leaving him alone with the poor, tormented creature. The turtle was grateful to have been saved, and so she spoke to Urashima.
Thank you for rescuing me from the cruelty of those children. Please allow me to return the favor.
Urashima humbly thanked the turtle for her kind words, but insisted that anyone would have done the same, and continued home to his family. The next day, Urashima set out to sea. Once he was far from shore, he heard a voice, though no one was around to have spoken. Urashima looked down into the waves and was surprised to see a giant sea turtle. The turtle bowed his head and spoke.
Urashima Taro, in gratitude for your kindness, the Emperor of the Sea asks you to join him in his palace.
He explained to Urashima that the small turtle he'd saved had actually been Otohime, daughter of the Emperor of the Sea. Holding tight to the giant turtle's shell, Urashima swam down to the magical palace of the Emperor of the Sea. He rejoiced with the Emperor and Princess Otohime, who showered him with sake and elegant sweets, beautiful dancing, and enchanting music. Urashima was so absorbed with the wonders of the sea palace that he rarely thought of his family and the home he had left above the waves. One day, Urashima Taro decided it was time to return to the world he had left behind. Though the princess was sad to see him go, she agreed and handed him a beautiful jeweled box.
You have been such a kind and wonderful guest, Urashima. Please, take this tamate bako. This will protect you from harm. But whatever you do, never open this box.
Urashima swam home on the shell of the giant turtle and crawled from the sea up the beach of his home. He rejoiced in the feel of sun on his skin and the fresh air in his lungs. He hurried home, eager to see his parents, but along the way, he found strange, new places. Roads had been built where before there had been none, and where once there were homes, they no longer stood. Confused, Urashima asked passers-by for directions. Those he asked only knew the family name of Urashima as the legend of a fisherman long ago lost at sea. Poor Urashima realized he'd been feasting in the palace of the emperor for 300 years. With all of his friends and family long dead and no home left to return to, Urashima made his way back to the beach. He sat in the sand and wept for his lost loved ones. Feeling lonely, desperate, and overcome with grief, he opened the jeweled box, though he knew he should not. A cloud of white smoke burst from the box and washed over Urashima's face. When he looked at his reflection in the sea, he found that he had suddenly become an old man. From the far-off waves of the sea, Urashima Taro heard the voice of Princess Otohime carried towards him.
I told you not to open the box, Urashima. It held your old age.
Regarding the future.
Are you fed up that your gadgets are already obsolete by the time you get them home? You need Future Proof! Simply spray Future Proof onto your cell phone, tablet, even your wife or husband, and that original brand newiness you found so appealing is locked in, guaranteed! No longer will you yearn for a new model. That app or sexual organ that used to perform perfectly first time every time, it still will with FutureProof! You can even FutureProof! FutureProof! So you need never buy FutureProof again! FutureProof! It's time to make obsolescence obsolete.
You are now listening to Hit Record on your radio, baby.
It's science time.
There are few phenomena stranger than déjà vu.
That overwhelming sensation of having experienced something before when you know you haven't.
Have you foreseen the future?
Or is it something else?
Scientists still have no definitive explanation.
There are theories, though.
Many people with a particular kind of epilepsy have reported déjà vu episodes during the onset of seizures.
The portion of the brain that this type of epilepsy affects,
the hippocampus,
is the key.
The hippocampus is responsible for managing short and long-term memories.
Perhaps when the hippocampus temporarily malfunctions, our short-term memories are mistakenly placed into
long-term memory,
giving us the impression we have foreseen a place or event.
Seduced you with this naked flesh.
Now others believe that déjà vu is linked to high levels of dopamine, a chemical released by nerve cells to send signals to other nerve cells in the brain.
A doctor combined two drugs to treat flu-like symptoms and began experiencing intense déjà vu episodes.
And when he stopped taking the drugs, the déjà vu disappeared. Both the drugs he used
increased dopamine activity in the brain.
Or maybe it's something else completely.
The glitch in the matrix that science can't explain.
You realize too late what I was. I seduced you with this naked flesh. This flesh that you both love and hate. And now you are mine. But oh, that is not enough. I crave that which is inside you. Your soul is all that will satisfy me. I will rip it from your pathetic body. You will manage to unclench your jaws and scream, but it will only fall on deaf ears. I have only given you what you wanted, after all. And it is too late to go back now.
Activity in the brain.
Or maybe it's something else completely.
The glitch in the matrix that science can't explain.
I'm sure I've heard that before, actually.
Liana and her sister Jessica are really amazing illustrators on the site, and recently, Liana, aka Lottie, filled us in on a personal story that started in November of last year, when she and Jessica had an appointment at a neuromuscular clinic.
I've been going there for the past 5 years with my sister because we both have spinal muscular atrophy. It's a neuromuscular disease that slowly shuts down the nerves to your muscles, and that makes them atrophy. It's degenerative, it doesn't get any better, and it is life-threatening. The particular type we had was type 1, which happens to infants right from birth, and the life expectancy is pretty short, roughly around 2 years.
Obviously, Lottie and her sister outlived that expectancy. She's 25 and her sister is 23.
This is part of the reason why their diagnosis never sat right with a doctor at the clinic, but after even more blood tests, results stayed the same.
Then, 5 years later, we go to this appointment, which we assume is going to be a typical appointment, and then we find out that the doctor needs blood work because there are brand new genetic tests that could basically re-diagnose us.
So their new blood work was sent out in November and tested for 160 other diseases, and this process would take 8 months.
That was a pretty long 8 months. Emotionally, it took a toll. On July 6th, we went back to the clinic and found out that we have a form of muscular dystrophy. We don't know what form yet, but all we know is that we definitely have MD and not SMA.
This is really big news because unlike SMA, MD is not as life-threatening. Lottie said that the big difference is that MD is a muscular problem. So as far as they know right now, she and Jessica still won't be able to walk, but physiotherapy is beneficial, whereas before, with SMA, it was essentially pointless.
Because with SMA, even though we were a rare case, you still know the end result will be an early death. So to find out that that part of you you always thought made you who you are isn't actually a part of you at all, it was a little bit emotional to go through. I never hated my disease because hating something that you were born with just didn't make sense to me. We never shook our hands to the sky and was like, ah, oh, why us? Why me? My parents were never angry at it. My sister never was either. We were all just kind of grateful. And it turned out having or thinking we had that disease made us into better people in a way. We lived every day. Not every day, that's cheesy, but we almost lived every day like it was the last.
Thankfully, Lottie's last day will come a lot later rather than sooner, but now she's in for big changes. She said that one of the biggest changes is coping with the fact that she doesn't have the same disease as two friends who she grew up with, one of whom passed away from SMA type 2 a few years ago.
I always felt close to them, obviously, because of our disease. We would always talk about the things that people just don't understand because we had a life-threatening illness and we didn't hate it. We just lived with it. And it was okay when she died because, in a way, she finally found some peace. My closeness to my friend will never go away. I know that. But I do feel almost like a fraud because I didn't actually go through any of the struggles she went through. Because it turned out I never had the same thing. Now I'm shaking my fist to the sky and saying, why me? Why of all people do I get this good news and these other people don't? I know I also have to be grateful for that news because there are people out there that want that kind of news. They want to hear that they're going to live a long time. SMA was my identity. It's probably not the healthiest way to look at something like a disease as an identity, but it was.
At the moment, one of the biggest questions for Lottie is, what now?
So now that my future's changed, and it's changed pretty drastically, and I know I have to start thinking long-term, which I never thought I'd have to do, I'm starting to consider getting a real job. I always figured I would live with my parents because I figured I'd die early, so it's okay to live with them all those years because our time together was precious anyway. But now that I know that I'm going to end up growing old, I obviously can't stay with my parents forever. I don't really have a set plan, I'll be honest. This is still all really new to me. But those things are always in my mind, and I'm thinking about them for the first time. So that part's pretty cool.
Tired feet grow
bringing us home on this odd audio odyssey. That was Pamagachi with her song A Long Way Home, produced by Dino619 and featuring a boatload of community hit recorders. Love it. Caitlin, I'm going to miss hosting with you so much.
I don't believe you at all.
Why?
Are you, though? Are you really going to miss hosting with me that much?
I am. I can't imagine a future without your beautiful segues.
Like, how do we end? What do we do? I'm sure Nils has something.
Never really here. We're kinda always arriving just in time. Right now. We bring ourselves forward and backward, reaching forever. Even when we're dead, we're somewhere before and after. The future is later. We'll get there together because we're already here right now.
That's it for now.
Thanks for listening.